Hi guys, welcome back to You've Got This. I know I took a little break, but we're back now and I hope you've all had a really enjoyable and fun Lent term. I hope that you're trying new things, pushing yourself out of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
And being more vulnerable and more genuine, you know?
Yeah, we
really
love
coming into yourself.
Hi everyone, my name's Priya and I'm a second year economics student. I know Mia has scowled at me several times because I've said I'm an economics student. Funny thing is, Mia and I just became close like 2 weeks ago and it was just me shooting a text at her like, hey Mia.
We should give context.
Yeah.
So hashtag five Remy because I've now five interviewed Remy. Navin and Simi and Priya and they are all flatmates. They always, as usual, I'll begin it off with a little icebreaker question
okay,
for
love
you.
That.
So if you could wake up tomorrow with any ability or power, what would it be?
Oh, that's a really... Wow, we're going straight into the deep end. No, I like just to have stable mental health. Because I think...
So like... As a power, if you were in the X-Men or Avengers, what would it be like? Oh, Mr. Stable Mental Health.
Oh, shit, we're talking about that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pick any power.
Okay.
I'm just thinking as like a superhero. Like,
I know exactly what it is.
Go on.
I want to win every single argument when it comes to being funny. Because I get...
you could just be like humor, like superhuman.
Superhuman humor. That's what I like.
We're very close to that already.
Uh-huh.
I picked to fly, I think. Come on, like, to fly.
Fly, yeah.
Sick. I don't care about being funny. So for this episode, it's going to be a bit different because I wanted to do more of like a spotlight episode on Priya and his story, which I think will be really valuable and important for everyone to listen to, like have their own thoughts on it, I would say.
I appreciate
so,
that.
Yeah, of course.
Firstly, thank you so much for giving me... Like, I really, really do appreciate this opportunity. I just wanted to be a little open and vulnerable about, like, my time at the LSE, especially at the start of second term, because I really want to, like... To everybody listening to this, I really want to say you're not alone and things will be okay. Like...
Like the whole message of what I try and preach.
Yeah, it's like it's such a it feels so like straightforward, but it's a message that's so hard to absorb because like everyone keeps saying it'll be okay, but like
so hard to actually fill in yourself.
Yeah, it's so like when you have a void, it's so hard to be like, no, there are better days to come. And right now, I've learned that there aren't better days to come. I feel like I'm living my best days because I'm surrounded by people. I'm surrounded by like my flatmates. Are my two best friends and they give me unconditional love, and what more can I ask for in life?
Like, their dynamic when I visit them at their house is just absolutely like wholesome. It does not even describe, like, it's just so beautiful.
I appreciate
watching
that.
You guys like all chat, roast each other,
yeah,
you rap battles in the middle.
Remember when the both of us freestyled?
Yeah, I was
that was really
I
funny
was so bad.
I think my first year, to me at least, was very underwhelming. I think I didn't really come out of my shell. People are always, you know, looking at what you're doing, and that kind of made me very socially anxious.
And where did you grow up?
And I grew up in Colombo, Sri Lanka. Like, my first year was filled with then missed opportunities in terms of making friends. You know, at around this time last year, I was like, what am I really doing?
When you talk about missed opportunities, to like look back and be like, oh, if only I'd been this way, if only I like had more confidence, I guess.
Yeah,
what you're saying,
this missed opportunities thing was something I thought at the time. I've changed my mind on it now because it's really being toxic to yourself. Things will be okay. When you come to a point in life where you feel like the worst has been gone through.
If you could summarize your first year in like three words or a sentence, what would you say?
The term of not trying.
And when you were living that, did you know that you weren't trying, or was that your like comfortable space?
I think it was me being comfortable in not trying.
What would you say to that person in Michaelmas term?
I would say, you shouldn't have been so harsh on yourself, man. It's so hard to find...
Don't beat yourself up about it. Brighter days are coming.
Honestly, like, it's so hard to find what you see on, like, social media in terms of, like, close friends. And, like, you know, you always see the good and you don't see the bad. And it's so important that you, like, you yourself will come to a point where you will find the people you love and you will find an environment and just like a safe space where you will be able to call home.
I love that. For a listener who's maybe in the same situation as you were in Michaelmas term, what would you say to them, and what did you start to do in Lent term that I guess like took you out of your shell and gave you more like inner confidence?
I really love that question. I would say take your time. Time is something that's really important in university, and trying to make things perfect from the get-go is unrealistic. It's so hard, and there's one or two people who have insane luck who are able to achieve that, and don't bank on that luck, because the people who I call my best friends right now, I literally only became close to in August. I want to be really open and vulnerable about this as well. I was diagnosed with severe depression 5 months ago as well. Coming from a person with extreme social anxiety and depression, it's really hard to know what the right move to do is, because this concept of what's right or wrong always reverberates through my mind.
So, of course, like, you had to deal with first year being an international student doing economics at LSC, and then you also have like your mind and the battles with that. When you reached out to your friends, how did they support you?
I reached out to this person and I was like, I feel like I'm not doing anything with my university life, which I wouldn't right now. I don't believe that. I feel like I was doing something at the time, but I was really caught up in my head at the time. I reached out to this person and I was like, I'm not really doing anything. I want to become closer to this person. I want to become closer to this person, but I just feel so alone, in like this, in this university where it's just me riding through it, not knowing what's going on.
Like, you just feel like you're just existing, but not living.
Yeah. Firstly, she really validated what I felt like. And she really validated the fact that, you know, people are so alone, and, you know, you always want what you don't have. As long as you try and as long as you give it time, like, things will turn out to be, things will work out. And funny enough, I went to this Molyuan conference. Everything ties back to Molyuan.
We should all end up at the UN. Yeah, we should all. Because of how much like,
hey guys,
grind we're doing.
Let's all join United Nations Society. And funny enough, 2 weeks later, I went to this conference in Manchester with my other flatmate, Navin. We bonded so much, and that was something I wanted so bad. Like, and that's why I want to say that as long as you put yourself out there in some sort of way, like, whether it be, like, doing some sort of societies, you know, going to just social events in some way. Again, don't put so much pressure on yourself, but at least give it a try, and you'll eventually find your set of people. And you'll eventually find what you can call, you know, comfort. And that's just what I believe. Did I answer the main question you asked?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I just said, like, how do your friends support you? Like, if someone here and they have a friend that's struggling, like, how would you feel like you would want your friends to support you when you're going through a hard time?
Right.
Because you don't want to put pressure on someone
100%.
That's struggling or maybe, like, has anxiety, because that 100%. Would definitely make it worse, but you don't want them to feel like you've left them or that they're in any way alone.
100%. I think the number one most important thing, you know, especially to myself, I'm going through a hard time. It's important to be kind to everyone, because, like, you really don't know what people are going through. You really don't know, like, what people are struggling with. And that's something I've learned myself. You know, being on top of everything and having a stable work-life balance, like, and continuously pressuring yourself.
What does that even mean?
Exactly. This idea of stability is so idealistic.
Yeah.
You're just fantasizing about this you're fantasizing about it at some point. You got to be comfortable with, you know, having a little bit of unbalance,
and accepting that is the life. And
exactly.
That is the normal.
Not having it together is sometimes better, and is sometimes so much more human than like trying to have it all together. And it's okay to have it be so like unbalanced. I think it's important to like validate people's feelings and just be like, you know, very empathetic. My flatmates are so empathetic towards me. The people I'm close to, you're really empathetic to me as well. The next most important thing is you know, I'd say listening is taken for granted. The first thing that everyone wants to do is like give advice or like solve the issue. But sometimes people just want to rant. People just...
Mm-hmm. And sometimes people don't want a solution to the problem. They just want to feel heard.
They just want to feel heard.
Or even someone saying like, that is shit. You're right.
Exactly.
Like, that is terrible. I'm not going to be like, oh, well, we can do this. We can do this. We can sort out this.
If you have a friend right now that's struggling and doesn't know what to do about it, just listen to them and just give them a hug.
I think that everyone has a story to tell, right? And mm-hmm. everyone maybe has like a dark secret or something that they try and hide from the world. But Priya is here to like has the courage and the vulnerability and the honesty. I'm so grateful for that, to share with us his story.
I was diagnosed for depression, and after several more appointments, I had found out that I had been somewhat depressed for my whole life. And I was also diagnosed with personality disorders. You know, growing up with my parents back in Colombo, Sri Lanka, in such a traditional setting, and the main expectation for you is to perform well in terms of your studies. And like the concept of, you know, emotions isn't spoken about at all in my family. I just didn't know what it meant to be comfortable with myself, which is why I always say the strongest thing anyone can do is being comfortable with themselves and just being okay with being alone. I went through the darkest parts of my life, especially in September. I felt very unloved, which is something I feel like showing love to your friends, just the people around you, is something we don't do enough. And I really felt that at around September. It kind of snowballed where I was in my head for such a long time, not knowing how to get out of this, because the diagnosis hit really hard in the sense that I have mental health issues. What do I do about it? Or I've tried to make my image as this extroverted person. There's almost an expectation for you to not have, you know, these mental health issues. There's a lot of expectations
100%,
from the people around you.
People expect a lot of you because of that, and sometimes you have to almost like perform.
Exactly. It's almost, life almost sort of became like a performance at one point, because it was like, how well can you navigate around yourself to put this idealized image of yourself in front of other people?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, like if you're living for other people, you should first start to live for yourself.
Exactly.
Right?
This is the point in your life where change, you should be comfortable with change. University is constantly changing and life will continuously change. And this change will make you a better and better person and embrace that change.
What type of like behavior or like thinking patterns do you do right now to like maintain this?
There was a specific day in January. Completely, I feel like, flipped a switch in me. And the source of the start of my depression, I feel like, was because I felt very unloved.
Is it because you just, like, people were loving you, but it just didn't feel genuine? Like, you just didn't process it in that way?
Exactly.
How do you go about your day to, like, maintain this? Because it must be hard. It's difficult for everyone, especially if you've been in, like, a slump for so long.
Yeah.
And you say your switch. Like, although it's great that it was a click in your brain.
I think that's a very good question, because this flip of the switch didn't mean that life just became good all of a sudden. That's 100% not like that.
Yeah.
I still wake up on certain days feeling terrible. I wake up on some days just being like, I have to go to university. I got to do all of this. There's so many things I have to do. I don't want to do this. At the end of the day, if you don't at least try to get through it, you're doing a disservice to yourself.
Mm.
Like, and I am going to do better for myself if I do these very small things that people might call their normal life, but for me is a step towards getting to what is stability. Like, even a very small step, like getting out of your bed and going for a walk,
that's
is huge.
That
and
involves getting up, getting changed.
Mm-hmm. Because you need to be kind to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, like, that's taken for granted.
What do you do on your self-care day?
I, you know, try and hit the gym on, like, a self-care day to, like, feel like I have done something with my body that would make it happy.
I mean, that's the biology in that as well, isn't it? Like, when you're working out, you get endorphins.
Exactly. I do this thing called guided meditation. I go for a little bit of a walk. There's a little...
Oh, do you have like an app, like music?
I go on YouTube and I like search up those videos. There's a river close to where I live where I just like go down this canal.
That's what people say, like just breathing, like doing the like in, hold, out. Like exactly. It's so simple, but you do feel like that weight off your shoulders.
Exactly. And like, you know, I was one of those guys who was like, haha, guided meditation. that's stupid. But man,
now, like,
yeah, man, if I could like show myself now to 6 months ago.
So what type of support do you receive?
The first one is the support I receive at university. My flatmate is a part of
peer support.
Honestly, professional advice feels so different to advice from someone you can call a friend.
Mm.
And these peer supporters, they're just amazing people who you can call friends at the end of the day. Peer support referred me to the Disability and Wellbeing Service. What the Disability and Wellbeing Service does is that they do, they can give you counseling, anything linked to your mental health. Please reach out to them because they can help you feel more comfortable through your journey through LSE. The second one is what I've done through the NHS. After having been diagnosed, I was referred to therapy appointment. This is a very, very long process. It took me 4 months. This charity called the Body and Soul Charity, doing dialectical behavioral therapy for me. It gives you the tools for knowing how to regulate your own emotion while understanding how to utilize your support system. And the third are my wonderful friends, people like Mia, people like my flatmates, other people also. Can I shout out people?
Yeah, of course.
I don't want to leave people out though, but like UNSOC EXCO, I love you guys. You know, people in Team
NSC.
Team SC, I love you guys. People in my econ course, people in my especially William.
So now are you like reminded of all the love? Do you feel
exactly?
It right now?
I feel very loved right now. Cause
and they all three that you've mentioned all work in different ways.
They work in very different ways.
And they're all equally important.
Now know that life doesn't have to be all by yourself.
Mm-hmm. That's good, because I didn't want to say earlier when you were like, you have to realize that you're doing life alone and that you will be alone. Because, I mean, I feel like I have a very opposite mindset to that. But then I feel like, oh, maybe it's just because you're an only child.
Uh-huh.
And then only children I know have that mindset, right? Because...
No, I completely get what you're saying.
Like alone, if you're not close with like any other young people your age, like. But I feel like it's a balance. You should always rely on people. When you said to your friends are like one of your biggest support networks, it shouldn't be like uncredited. The effort has to be made to make friends, and how important friends are.
Oh no, 100%.
So I would say you can't agree. Do life alone.
No, I agree. I think I should clarify what I said. You should be okay with doing life alone. Let's say you'd have to move away to a different country. Maybe your support system won't be there. So you can't be dependent on them. You still need to understand that there are more friends to come, and your current people are always going to be with you.
Mm-hmm.
If they are really, really good people. There are people who are always going to be rooting for you. There are people who will always be supporting you. But at the same time, don't become too dependent on it, because that creates like toxic sort of relationship, and that might result in something like hurt your feelings later onwards.
So what are some like solo London activities that you like to do when you just need like time by yourself? Or
I always walk. There's this one spot in Covent Garden that has like a really like tall piece in the middle, and it's like a circle followed by many different pathways around.
Oh yeah, like Seven Dials.
Seven Dials.
The most famous place in Covent Garden. Damn, so you walk all the way there from
Rosebery? I walk so far. You would catch me doing like 3 hour walks.
Jesus.
Yeah, I'm an advocate for walks.
You must listen to so much music.
I think I have good music taste.
Who's your favorite artist?
Kid Cudi. I love the fact that you gave me this platform to talk about my favorite music artist, because Kid Cudi, please people, listen to Man on the Moon and Man on the Moon 2. His songs are about mental health. Can I plug a song?
Go.
Love, full stop. Lyrics kind of hit home. Yeah, you know, in this song called Love, it starts off with saying, I am happy to be alive. And the chorus just goes, don't be so down. Come on, young homie. You'll be okay. You'll find real love. And real love isn't in the sense of like romantic like love. It's just in the sense that you'll find people you love. Oh, let's freestyle right now.
You can lead it though. Okay. Like, you know how bad I am.
So me and Mia over here, we had a rap battle. We freestyled.
I lost miserably.
Freestyling is my hobby. We both basically had 4 verses each. I said my 4 verses. Oh, like what? My 4 verses. My 4 lines. She said one line and dipped.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Woke up at 11:30. Made some oats. Trying to get to campus by 1 p.m. Trying to see what I can do on the weekend. Nah. They call me the.
What do they call you?
They call me the person who likes talking about mental health.
Valid. Ooh.
Then I say.
Let's go.
I like eating food.
Same.
I like eating a lot of food.
Would you do something for me?
Mackey's. Nah.
Chicken nuggets.
I like eating chicken, lamb, duck, fish.
Beef. Oh, we got no beef in here.
But we got the mutton. Nah, the mutton is too large.
Paneer.
I'm about that lyrical ability. And the thing is, I always wake up and I try to tell myself that I can always out-rap you. But then I come here and I look you rapping. Sometimes I say. I don't know what I'm gonna say. But
you
that's
don't.
Okay.
The lyrics flow, the lyrics come. We see how it goes and we get it done.
That was actually pretty good. We have.
Woo! So, thank you guys. We've reached the end of the episode. I hope that you learned a thing or two, or if not, you enjoyed the rap. A big thank you from me, and thank you so much, Priya, for coming on today. I'm so, so grateful that it's having an impact and that you guys can now respond and relate and resonate with the words that we spoke today.
Thank you so much for having me on, Mia. It was my pleasure. And let's play Cards Against Humanity sometime soon again.
Yeah, so I can beat you again. No, sure. See you guys next week.
Bye-bye, guys. See y'all.